When Jesus walked on the face of the earth, the Israelites had been ruled since about 530, 540 BC by the Babylonians, and then the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. So for more than 500 years, the nation of Israel had really been ruled by somebody else. And over that period of time, a number of different ideas as to how to stop this, how to end this, began to rise up. Two prominent groups of people in Jesus' day had their own idea about how to end this cycle of domination and oppression on the part of some sort of outsider. And it was formed and fashioned out of their experience, right? Out of their collective experience as a people. So one group was a group of people called the Essenes. And the Essenes came to the conclusion that it really hadn't mattered what Israel had done in terms of its prayer and in terms of its faithfulness to try and end this ongoing occupation. It really hadn't mattered what had happened up to that time in that place, and that something, what they could do, what they believed they could do in order to restore the Davidic line, and the Messiah would be sent by God so that Israel would then be on top, was to go out into the wilderness and practice the faith in a way that they considered to be pure. They kind of sequestered themselves off from everybody else. There were literally thousands of people that were living in these, there's really no better way to put it, communes that were out in the middle of the desert, out in the middle of the wilderness, all practicing what they thought to be the purest form of the Hebrew faith. And they thought that if they did this, God would see their faithfulness, and he would realize that there was somebody who was ready and willing to do his bidding, and that the Messiah would be sent to them, and then this new order would begin. And so they practiced something called asceticism, which means they live very simply. They eat very simple foods. They were not materialistic. They practiced meditation, and they practiced prayer, and they did it fervently, and they did it repetitively, and they engaged in scripture study. If you've ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, most archaeologists believe that it was a commune of Essenes who were the ones who copied the scripture. That these were copies of the scrolls that were housed at the temple of Jerusalem. And the idea was that even if the temple fell again, even if Jerusalem fell again, the scripture could still be studied and still could be passed down, and this new order that was based upon the law could begin. So that was one group of people. They believed that, you know, Israel had been hurt over and over again. I don't know if you've known anybody who's been hurt repeatedly, and they tend to kind of withdraw from everybody else. They kind of build up a shell to try and protect themselves from other people getting in. But that's how the Essenes decided they were going to deal with this. They were going to withdraw. They had had enough of false hope. they were just going to sequester themselves off and wait patiently for the Lord. And there are some people who do that. There are some people who have been hurt so badly, have been disappointed so badly that, or afraid of the world because of what's happened to them, that they've kind of sequestered themselves off. That's kind of what Wakanda had done, right? Wakanda was this, in the movie Black Panther, Wakanda is this nation, small nation in Africa who had watched what had happened as Africa had been colonized. They had watched as their brothers and sisters in some other part of the continent had been taken into slavery. They watched what happened as each nation was carved out, conquered and carved out, and the natural resources pulled out of that nation, and the people there held under the thumb of some sort of European oppressor. They saw that, and so they hid. They hid from the world, hid their technology, hid their capabilities, they hid. That's one way to deal with it. It's one way to deal with the world, is to hide. But there was another group that walked the face of the earth when Jesus was doing his thing, and they were a group of people called the Zealots. There were at least two of Jesus' 12 disciples that were Zealots. We're told that Simon the Zealot, was one of the 12. We know he was a zealot because it was in his name. And in a couple different places, Judas Iscariot is mentioned as a zealot. So there were at least two members of Jesus' disciples who were zealots. And zealots, you know, they had a different answer as to why Israel couldn't ever be free. And for them, it had to do with bravery. It had to do with being willing to stand up with your sword in the face of being outnumbered, in the face of technology that's greater than the technology that you possess. It was about standing up against all odds and believing beyond belief that God, if you would begin to fight your oppressor, if you would kill those who had kept you down, God would. God would come in next to you and behind you and in you and through you. And even a few would be able to cast off a large dominant army. Excuse me. They believed in the power of violence. Because there had been so many who had been so... I mean, the history of Israel, we know about the captivity in Babylon. The history of Israel under Greek rule is not a good one. Lots of moments where people were slaughtered just as a way of a Greek king, the successors of Alexander the Great, as a means of trying to remind people who had power and who didn't have power. And of course, under the emperor, you know, under Augustus and under Caesar, this the way that you maintain power is you're just merciless. And so these, you know, they'd had brothers that had died and fathers that had died and sisters and mothers and children, grandmothers who had been slaughtered. And they just didn't see any other way out. It didn't seem like the Romans were ever going to be prayed away. See, that's the flip side of this movie, right? A Wakandan, abandoned by his people, raised in South Central Los Angeles, left as an orphan. He saw how the world worked, right? He saw how the world worked, and so he worked his whole life for the moment to turn Wakanda upside down. Isn't that a great image to start that? To turn Wakanda upside down, this little isolated nation that had all of this potential but didn't want the world to know, out of fear, out of what might happen. He decides to take the zealot's approach. we'll fight our way to a new tomorrow. Maybe you know people like this too, people who have decided that they have been abused enough, and so instead they take the place of the abuser. People who really believe that violence is the way forward, as if violence that's ever inflicted isn't eventually somehow returned. That's the history of the world, man. I mean, that's the history of it. You have these animosities that exist for thousands of years. People can remember what this person or that tribe did to their family or to their tribe 2,000 years ago, and they're still holding a grudge. Violence ever goes away. But there are some people who believe that if only you're willing to fight, that'll make the way forward. Isaiah knew of these people. Isaiah, written in the shadow of the Babylonian captivity, said, "You know, really, I'm much better off having been humiliated in front of the people. I'm much better off having been humiliated, having my face ground in the dirt, than to have taken my sword and turned it on my oppressor." If you want, there's a light that you can follow, Isaiah says. There's a different kind of light that you can follow. A light that has existed from the beginning of time, and a light that will exist till the end of time. A light that you and I know as Jesus Christ. There is this light that if you follow this light, it will lead down a new path for a new tomorrow. But if you want to make your own torch, if you want to take your own torch and you want to light it with your anger and with your fear, and you want to follow that light, go ahead and do it. I'm just going to tell you, I know where that ends. If anger and hatred rule your life, if what other people have done to you and what you have experienced, and it's in your heart, it rules your life, it will take you down a particular path, which is destruction. Destruction for you and for others. It has always been, and it will always be. There is a different kind of light, but living as if that light can somehow be hidden, that's not the way to live either. Jesus was aware of the Essenes. There were thousands of them. This wasn't like one small group of people that nobody had ever heard of. There were all different types and kinds of people practicing the faith in this secluded nature, in this hope and prayer that God would come back. Jesus could have chose that way if he had wanted to choose that way. But that's not what he did. Jesus chose not to be bound by fear. By fear of what could happen. By fear of what might happen. But he wasn't a might makes right guy either. He chose a different way. I find it interesting in the movie that, presented with these two ways, the Wakandans end up taking a third. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm about to spoil it. I'm sorry. We showed it for free here Tuesday. You could have come and seen it. But the way forward that the Wakandans choose is the way of education and service. They decide to open up sites all over the world and use their knowledge of technology to take their education and to take their culture and to take it in different places in the world to equip people so that they could learn how to have a better tomorrow through the power of education. Through the power of technology. That's what they decide to do. They don't really have a spiritual mission per se, but it is a humanitarian mission. They take a third way, and that is to become servants of humanity. Not sequestered, not violent, not starting a violent, bloody revolution to replicate the empires of the past. I had this thing for the 4th of July. It was a little meme that I put on my Facebook page, and it was a picture of the British flag, and it said, from the people who helped create 58 Independence Days across the world. The sun never sets on the British Empire, right? It's not to build this new empire. It's not to subjugate people to your will and impose it upon everybody else. It's instead to find a new way to be a servant of all. See, Jesus, becoming a servant is a spiritual way for Jesus. Seeking the Lord requires us to get down on our knees and to wash the feet of others. The way of Jesus is the way of peace. The way of Jesus is the way of forgiveness. The way of Jesus is the way of grace. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus leads is not a kingdom that people are forced into. It's a kingdom that people are welcome into. If they want to become a part of it, they can become a part of it and follow this light, this different kind of light, not a torch which looks to burn everything down. Or a small lamp which is hidden under a bushel so that nobody will know that I just got myself a new oil lamp. I don't want them to steal it away from me. It's a beauty, my oil lamp. It's neither one of those things, but instead to take the gifts and graces that God has given us so that we might serve others. See, where Christian communities are, in my estimation, as opposed to being closed societies or closed communities that sit in judgment of others, Christian communities throughout the world ought to be known as places of grace. They ought to be embassies. Remember this video we saw a long time ago of a woman in Romania who on the front of her house, she put this sign, Embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven, so that anybody who wanted to come to her house, if they were in need, if they needed prayer, or if they needed something to eat, or they needed somebody to listen to them, whatever it was, they would know that this was a safe place where they would be welcome and they would be loved. And I understand we need to be discerning if there are people who have done harm to us, if there's somebody who's done harm to us, if there's somebody who has a life who their character has proven to be less than edifying. We need to beware of those people and we need to protect ourselves from those people. But the reality is, maybe we're those people. Maybe we need to do a little bit of introspection ourselves. And instead of sitting in judgment, being discerning is different. It's not making a snap judgment about who somebody is because of where they come from or what they look like or who they live their life with. See, churches, Christian communities, church is just a fancy word. Church is not a, this is a building. It's a building owned by a church. The church is you. It's the people in first service and the people in second service and the majority of people who didn't make it to either service today. To a greater or lesser degree, people take ownership of this church, but church is a community. We are a community of Jesus Christ who happen to own a building. And we've been gathered together to create embassies for the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom, Jesus says, is and is coming and is yet to come all at the same time. There is a different way. It's not a way that relies on violence, and it's not a way that relies on hiding our light under a bushel. It is a way that leads the truth of Jesus Christ and who He is in this world and in our lives, that begins with our humility. As people who are beggars, who simply are able to tell others where we have found bread, the bread of life, and to offer that bread in all of the forms that all the possibilities that can exist in this world. When we do that, it transforms lives. It transforms lives of people who are served, but it also transforms lives of the servants. It's a different kind of kingdom. A one that the sun never sets on for all eternity, because it's a kingdom of service and love and justice and grace and forgiveness.